morning, honorable members. Good morning. All in the house, you are welcome to this meeting of the Portfolio Committee, not Portfolio Committee, of the Powers and Privileges Committee. My apologies for that. You know, I'm used to chairing this Portfolio Committee on Higher Education. So when I say committee, it's always Portfolio Committee. This is the Powers and Privileges Committee. We are meeting here today to deal with the matter of the incident that happened during the budget vote speech of the Minister of Public Enterprises, which incident has been referred to us by the Speaker of the National Assembly, Honorable Thandi Modise. So we've scheduled the hearing to be today. Now just some few house issues before we start. There is a report that I've received regarding our meeting which took place over a virtual platform, I think about two or three weeks back. So the Secretariat has finalized the report, so I've asked that that report must be circulated to members. So that sometime during the course of this week, we should consider that report and approve the report as per our previous decision. I've asked that NAMSA must circulate that report. And there's also minutes of that meeting which we need to consider at some point during the course of this week and finalize those minutes. So those are the two things. Members must please comment, make their comments on the report in advance so that by the time we look at the report we don't start afresh. And send them those comments to the Secretariat. The second issue is that we have determined in the last meeting that this is going to be a hybrid meeting wherein those members who are not able to travel will be able to connect to this meeting via virtual platforms. I'm not sure whether that arrangement has been made. If I can just get a confirmation that that has been made and there are members on a virtual platform. I don't know who's going to talk to them. Okay, Victor.
Chair, this venue or any other committee venue is not ready yet for a hybrid. The service providers are busy putting in place the infrastructure to enable that. We are hoping that at least by the beginning of December it should be up and running, but that still is just a hope. Thank you.
Okay. The venue is not yet ready. We were under the impression that it will be ready by today. So it means that those members who are not here today will not be able to join the meeting virtually. I think we should have received this information so that we communicate to them in advance. I was talking to one member who was saying that I understand her condition. Honorable Sewela was in hospital last week. So she was indicating that she's still not fine. So I did say to her that don't worry, you'll be able to connect on a virtual platform. So if I had known, I could have told her that she shouldn't worry, she's not going to be able to join. But I think we do form a quorum to proceed with the today's meeting. Now, Victor here from the NA table has brought something to my attention. So I'm going to ask that you just raise that issue with the committee so that the committee can then take the necessary decision. You don't mind coming, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, Rule 213(2) requires that when a committee considers the matter affecting members or a member, and it considers that matter confidential, then the meeting must be held in camera, unless the committee decides otherwise. So there is a need for the committee to apply itself to that provision of the rule, whether it considers, at least it, definitely members are affected. But is it confidential? If it is confidential, does public interest override that? Thank you.
Okay. That is the issue that the table staff has brought to my attention. I did say to them from where I'm sitting, I don't see any reason to make to close the proceedings of this meeting, of this hearing, that it should be a public meeting like it is always has been. So there's nothing compelling that we should close this meeting and make it a confidential meeting. But I will hear members of the committee, what is their view, and then from there we'll make a ruling whether do the public interest issues that the committee is dealing with overrides the issues about confidentiality, or are we going to be dealing with confidential matters regarding members such that we have to close this meeting to have it in committee. But my own view, as I've said, I don't think we should have this in committee. But let me hear members. Honorable Peters.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to ask the table staff to advise us on the precedent on how, because unfortunately for me, it's the first time I serve in this committee, so I don't have background or historical or experience about what happened in the past. So they could help us so that we don't end up veering onto the wrong side. Public interest, yes, but what has been the previous experience in this committee with regard to matters of members?
Okay, do you have any clarity seeking questions before we deliberate? Okay, there's only that one. Are you able to answer that, Victor?
Chair, at the last hearing held in 2014, the matter was considered and the meeting decided to open the hearings to the public.
Okay, Honorable Peters, are you... that is the only precedent. while to come back?
Yes, Chairperson, all committees of Parliament are open to the public. So I would recommend that we take that particular approach, and that's why I earlier asked for clarity with regard to what was previously done.
Honorable Dikham.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to actually support the proposal of Honorable Peters that we open these hearings to the public. Thanks.
Okay, so that's done. I think the committee is of the view that these hearings should be open to the public. There are no confidential matters that requires that we must close these proceedings. Okay, so that being that, there is an agenda that has been distributed. In terms of the agenda, we are supposed to get into item 2 to start with a hearing on the incident that happened on the 11th of July during the mini plenary in this very room. Now, I am aware that there has been correspondence that has been exchanged between Parliament and the members who have been charged through their representatives. And I don't see those members here. So maybe there is an explanation for that. And so I'm going to invite Advocate Mayosi, who has been appointed as the initiator on behalf of Parliament, to address the committee. Advocate Mayosi.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you and good morning to the members who are present. Indeed, Chair, as everybody will be aware, the genesis of this matter is an incident that occurred, I'm told, in this chamber on the 11th of July, following which, 2019, following which the Speaker then made a referral to the subcommittee responsible for the physical removal of members to consider the circumstances under which those members were removed. Ultimately, that subcommittee reported to the NA Rules Committee, which then adopted the subcommittee's report and referred the matter to yourselves. And sometime after that, I was then appointed as the initiator, and charges were then formulated against the affected members, and notices containing the allegations against them were served on them on the 5th, Thursday the 5th and Friday the 6th of November. As members will be aware, the schedule to the NA rules then describes or sets out the procedure that this committee will apply in the investigation of allegations of contempt of Parliament. And item 1 of the schedule then requires that affected members be given notice, 5 working days notice of hearings where allegations against them will be pursued. So in the notices that they received on the 6th of November at the very latest, they were then given just over 5 days working days notice and told that the hearings would resume on the 17th, Tuesday, the 17th of November. So the correspondence then began between the Acting Secretary of Parliament, Ms. Jawa, who had signed the notices that were delivered to the affected members, and attorneys Ian Levitz, who are on record for the affected members who had received notices. So the first letter came on the 11th of July. This was the first of 5 letters, really, between the 11th of July and as late as this morning. In this first letter, there were 4 requests that were made. it was indicated in this letter that, of course, the attorney acts for all the affected members, and they had been informed in their notices that they are entitled to provide explanations, and the explanations may either be oral and furnished at the hearing, or they may elect to give written explanations, in which case, if they elected the written explanations, the notices requested them to submit their written explanations by the 17th of November, sorry, Friday the 13th of November, because the hearings are going to start on the 17th. So in this first letter then, they stated, the attorney stated that the affected members were making an election to submit written representations. They asked them that given that they were exercising their election to submit written representations, they wanted to know if the physical hearings would in any event continue. They also asked if the physical hearings do continue, notwithstanding the written representations, they wanted to know whether the attorneys and their counsel would be able to represent the affected members at the hearings. The request that was made then on that day in the letter of the 11th was to postpone this hearing indefinitely, and also given that as at that date they had not yet been furnished with the unrevised Hansard and the video footage of the incident, they then said, we're not going to be in a position to submit the written representations by the expected date, which is Friday the 13th, and therefore we'd like an extension of time within which to file, and we'd like to file on the 1st of December. So in her response, the acting secretary then drew the attention of the attorney to the provisions of item 1, which are clear. Item 1 of the schedule read together with item 3 relating to the issue of external legal representation. So in the ordinary course, affected members are entitled to be assisted by other members, and it is only where this committee has allowed external legal representation that such external legal representation may be enjoyed. So the acting secretary then pointed them out that, you know, if you want external legal representation, you need to do what you need to do in terms of the schedule to address the request to the committee. The acting secretary, together under cover of that letter, also provided the unrevised Hansard and the video footage. She told the affected members that she would give an extension of the time by which to file their written representations, so that the period then moved from the 13th of November, and she said that they had until yesterday, the 23rd of November, to file written representations. She did not accede to the request to postpone these hearings indefinitely, and informed them that the hearings were postponed to begin today. So that was the first sort of toing and froing, the first set of correspondence. The second letter from the affected members' attorneys came on the 13th of November, and that letter raised a number of complaints. There were allegations of gross irregularity because the dates for the hearings had not been made in consultation with the affected parties. There was a complaint that there is an apprehension that they will not get a fair hearing, that the issues had already been predetermined. And that complaint arises really from the fact that if the acting secretary was saying that they could submit written representations on the 23rd of November and the hearings would proceed on the 24th, that meant that they were not going to be fairly considered and that the matter had been predetermined. So the attorney raised other questions relating to who had made the decision to postpone the hearings, under what rule had the decision been made, when had that decision been made, and so on. The acting secretary responded again the next day. She of course denied any prejudice, and she again reminded the attorney for the affected members that you should really be making these representations to the committee. You are engaging me when you should be engaging the committee, and there's nothing that's been predetermined, and Parliament is merely following the procedure set out in the schedule. But a third letter then came on the 18th of November, and this letter raised a number of procedural and substantive complaints. It repeated some of the issues that had been raised in previous correspondence, but to some extent new issues were raised. And in essence, four demands were made in that letter, that these hearings be conducted by a retired judge or a practicing senior counsel. Secondly, that the hearings not proceed, and that until the committee makes a decision relating to how the hearings are going to be conducted. Again, there was a demand that the hearings be postponed indefinitely. And lastly, the affected members demanded that they be given an automatic right to legal representation. So in other words, they not make a have to make a request to the committee as the schedule allows. So the acting secretary, and then that letter then made it clear that should the acting secretary not accede to those demands, the attorney said that he had instructions to approach a court for appropriate relief. So in her response the next day, the acting secretary, I think, made it clear that she had no intention of engaging in this correspondence any longer. They should really invoke their rights, as those rights are set out in the schedule. She's not the appropriate forum to be entertaining these, making these submissions, and these submissions should actually really be properly contained in representations that they intended to make to the committee. As to date, the representations were to be submitted yesterday by 12 o'clock or lunchtime or 12 o'clock. There are no written representations. But a letter that did come yesterday, which is a fourth letter, was a letter that says that the council has been exposed to somebody who tested COVID positive. They obviously can't attend. The council obviously can't attend the hearing today. The councillors have gone for a test, and they will advise as to the result of the test. I don't think the acting secretary responded to that letter. This morning, a fifth letter came, which is to state that the council's COVID tests are negative, and that the attorney and councillors intend to attend the proceedings tomorrow, and there's a request that the proceedings adjourn and not begin today. So that is where we are. Those are the circumstances that I think impact on how today proceeds, and that the committee needs to apply its mind to. As to date, there is no request, as far as I'm aware, that is before the committee for external legal representation. So the request to adjourn because of unavailability of counsel would seem to suggest that the external legal representation has either been granted or there's an automatic right. So in considering it, I think the committee needs to be alive to the fact that there's no request for external legal representation as we speak. There are no written representations before the committee. However, and then there's always an however with matters that have to do with people's rights, my own view is that the committee may want to weigh up the potential prejudice to the affected members were these proceedings to begin in their absence against the prejudice to the committee if the committee accedes to the request to begin the proceedings only tomorrow. It's always a question of fairness, it's always a question of equities, and it's a balancing, weighing up exercise. It's not a perfect science. Those are the issues that I would say the committee needs to be alive to and to weigh, mainly questions around prejudice. In my own view, the potential prejudice to the affected members is reasonable, and it may outweigh the potential prejudice to the committee of adjourning for a few hours in order to allow them to attend the proceedings. If the committee is minded to be of the view that wait a minute, there's no request for external legal representation, so why should we adjourn in order to give effect to something that we have not allowed? I think the committee is well within its rights, even if it agrees to adjourn, to record or note that the adjournment is mainly a question of fairness for the affected members and is not a concession that external legal representation is in fact allowed, and that a request still has to be made in terms of the schedule, addressing the jurisdictional facts that the schedule talks to about when external representation is allowed. So that is where we are today. I believe that those are decisions that the committee needs to take. I've expressed my view from an initiator's perspective, from a completely selfish perspective in terms of wanting your process to run in a particular way. I would be disinclined to begin a process today in the absence of people who have indicated that they are coming tomorrow and begin to lead evidence in their absence. And I think that will complicate the procedural aspects a lot more, because you know they would be entitled to the transcript of today. They may not be able to cross-examine that witness because evidence was laid in their absence, and those are really the issues that need to be considered.
Okay. All right. That is the submission by the. By the initiator, there's been a lot of correspondence exchanged between those members through their legal representative and Parliament, lots of letters, but where we are now, they are not here. They've indicated that they will be here tomorrow. So we are requested then to decide whether we proceed in their absence or we indulge them on their request to come tomorrow. Two issues have been raised, but they are not automatically entitled to legal representation in terms of the schedule to the rules. They must apply and the committee has to consider the application. That's the first thing. The second thing is that they are also entitled to make a representation and make a point to the committee, whatever point they would like to make, and the committee must look at those representations. So on both of these two issues, it looks like none has happened. They've not asked for legal representation, which we're supposed to be considering, and they asked for it. They've not made any representations formally to the committee, so the committee is not in a position to consider their representation. But there is a reality that we are faced with, that they are not here because of the unavailability of their counsel. The view of the initiator is that if you weigh issues of fairness vis-à-vis their rights, she is inclined to accede to their request that we should not proceed, we must come back tomorrow morning. So that is that, honorable members. Can we express our view on this one? Honorable Dukan, Honorable Ndlozi, Honorable Maluleka have noticed those hands.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me appreciate and welcome the input which was made by Advocate Mayosi, quite comprehensive and quite elaborate, which we need to appreciate. I think, honorable members, based on the proposal from the advocate that we need to accede to, she's actually proposing that we accede to the request based on the issue of fairness and also on the issue of legal, on the issue of fairness and rights, and legal rights. I'm actually persuaded also to agree on it, that we start the proceedings tomorrow, we adjourn today, start the proceedings tomorrow, and then we allow all these members that are actually charged, to bring, whether it's legal representation that they're going to bring on, and then we also don't impute on the rights of those members. We start the hearings on the clean slate, and then we proceed as such. Having listened also to the issues raised by the advocate, there are a number of correspondences between the Secretary of Parliament as well as the senior counsel for the members who have been charged. So to come today to us, the committee, and say we must decide whether we are going to afford these members legal representation or not as a committee. I've got a problem with that from where I'm sitting, because there's already been communication between the affected members, the Secretary of Parliament, and the charged members of Parliament, which were expected to be engaging in the hearings tomorrow if the committee is going to agree. So now when we are told today in the meeting that it's up to us as a committee to now decide whether we grant them legal representation or not, I've got a problem with that element, because of already there's been communication between these affected, these charged members of Parliament, the Secretary of Parliament, through Advocate Mayosi, and also the senior counsel of those affected members. There have been that interaction. So why that issue has not been clarified then for them? Why was it not brought to the committee today? That's the question that I'm asking myself as I'm sitting here. Because if there was an issue that these members that were charged, they were supposed to apply to the committee for the committee to either grant or not grant them legal representation. That issue should have long been clarified. I'm not sure. I'm just raising it on the basis that I'm not aware whether it was raised then by Advocate Mayosi, or either maybe through the Speaker of Parliament to the senior counsel. Why was it not raised then? Why is it only being brought to us now? That's a question that I'm asking myself. But I'm also speaking from a point of not being clear about that particular aspect. So if that issue has been raised a long time ago, I think it would be fair for us as a committee now to say, this issue was raised to the members. This is where we are now. The Speaker of Parliament, the Secretary of Parliament have communicated to these members. So we need to apply ourselves as a committee now to see whether we proceed, we grant these members legal representation, because it's not their legal right, it's not an automatic right for these members. So we need to apply our mind today. I will actually be much more comfortable if that issue is brought to us now to apply our minds. But if you look at all these other issues, I will actually propose and submit to the committee that because the public hearings are supposed, the hearings are supposed to start tomorrow, we're postponing maybe today. If the committee agrees, we postpone today, we start tomorrow. Now, if we start tomorrow, what are we going to do as a committee? We need to be clear about it. Because we don't want to come tomorrow here and then we sit and then we're told there's still going to be that issue between granting of the legal representation, what are the rules saying vis-a-vis the legal counsel, all of that. So I want us to conclude today and agree so that when we come back tomorrow here, we start with the first hearing and that matter has been resolved. So I wanted to make a submission to the committee that the issue of legal representation vis-a-vis legal assistance Advocate Mayosi must be able to clarify as the committee and tell us also, considering the issue of precedent that has been happening in the other hearings of this nature, where the same Committee of Powers and Privileges was conducting these hearings, what happened in the past. That clarity needs to be given to us, please. So that's the submission that I'm going to make, that Advocate Mayosi, maybe for the purpose of the meeting of today, let's conclude on it, but also for our own clarity as members of the committee, what happened in the past, how can we approach this issue, what's the difference between legal representation, legal assistance, and all of that, so that we're clear when we take that decision. So that we are clear as members of parliament, when we take that decision, we know we're within the rules. There's nothing illegal that we're doing. So I will submit that, Honourable Chairperson. Thanks.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Okay, maybe on your second point, we must just be careful not to consider an application that has not been put before us. There is no application now, and we can't consider something that has not been submitted to us. So I think it will be inappropriate for us to venture on that route, because there won't be, it will be like we are anticipating what they may do. What if they come and say, no, we are not going to apply for any legal representation, and we have already granted them something that they have not requested even, because we don't have a formal application, which is a matter, which is a procedural issue as required by the rules. So I think let's wait for the second part, and when they do apply, we will be advised appropriately. Whether will it be unfair for us not to grant them, or will it be fair, and all of that. But I think for now, maybe let's just deal with the question whether are we proceeding today or proceeding tomorrow. And I think Honorable Dilhan has indicated that is satisfied with the submission that we should proceed tomorrow, and he does support. Let me get to Honorable Ndlozi.
Thanks. Firstly, I think it's not fair to be given a report of the correspondence. We should have been printed all that correspondence so we read it ourselves, so that we see if these things they're saying are so. We don't know. People write to Parliament about our business, you don't bring it to us. And you report what kind of law and fairness is that? I mean, you bravely tell us this is what happened. This is a case that affects people and that affects the business of the house. It's our business. People write to us about their own case. It's not brought to us. One, two, we're told the report, like the initiator comes here and says, this is what the letter is saying, and this is what we said, and therefore this is my opinion. That can't be right. We don't know if there's no application, because she's telling us. I don't know. I don't know if you, Chairperson, have seen this correspondence that is a matter of discussion now. So I can't make up my mind of the conclusions you have reached. It's correspondence. It should have served so that we indeed satisfy ourselves that no, these people have not applied for a legal representative, or they've not requested for one. Somehow they are looking for a legal representation. The procedures don't set out how that representation must be made. A mere request should have been given to us. So they wrote a letter and they said they want legal representation. You say no, write to the committee. Something is wrong there, Comrade Jefferson. The correspondence should have been brought to us. Even as you are speaking now, you should have printed for us these letters you are speaking about so that we see it's a case. We are obliged to be procedurally fair, like fair. You must be fair. You must not hide anything. We must not play some trick, look like we must be fair. So why didn't we get this correspondence that is speaking about our business? Because writing to Parliament is writing to us. Writing about the Powers and Privileges Committee is writing about our business. The letters should have served with us. I'll give you an example. You considered in the last meeting, Chairperson, you said there is some correspondence that is happening. The hearings have now moved from the 17th to the 20th on Dundu. In the last virtual meeting we had. Me, I was still waiting that one day we're going to be finished. Even that time, you dealt with it in the first item as an announcement. There was no deliberation. Why are we postponing? What are the circumstances and all those things? Now we hear there's actually a plethora of correspondence that has been happening on our behalf. No, that's not fair, Honorable. That's the first important point to make. We must clarify. It's not an excuse that they are writing to the secretary or acting secretary of the National Assembly. That person is the secretary of everyone. The point is the substance. Bring the correspondence to us. Let us make up our own mind. Don't make up the mind on our behalf. It's wrong. And I think we must correct it, Chairperson. The second matter, from what I hear, there are demands or requests. She calls them demands. I don't know whether they have put them like that. We don't know. We don't have the correspondence. There are specific demands and complaints about the procedure and all those things. That I suspect we may have had to explain or apply our minds as well. If the procedure that we are engaged in affects these people and they're complaining about it, don't extract what you think is important. We should know what is it. Because the point of fairness is going to deal with the committee. You know, the Act is very clear. It says, whatever you do, be fair. In a fair manner, procedurally fair manner, whatever you do. So I'm not very comfortable with this idea of us. It's not actually an excuse that when they write to the secretary, they are not writing to, I mean, really. People who are not members of parliament write to the secretary. Secretary reads and says, no, this indeed requires at least for me to give it to the chairperson of our committee. Chief, there's a matter here. Because he's not a member, he's not powers and privileges committee. And he doesn't know the facts, he doesn't sit with us. He doesn't know what's happening. Now we're being told there's a challenge of a procedure. What is this challenge? What are the demands? We should have been printed, in my view, this file. And then the second matter relates to the fact that there is no application on the table and the chairperson is restricting that debate. So with your indulgence and your guidance, you will... You are saying I must not speak about people asking for legal representation because there's no such a matter in front of us. But I don't know, what do we say now? As far as I'm concerned, You've been already communicating with a legal representative. You've been making concessions and demands and all those things with a legal representative. How is the matter not in front of us? You are already speaking, you're not speaking directly to members. So, what's happening there? We're already in the process of legal representation. Because a member, if I understand from the explanation, a member should apply that, no, I want a legal representative. And then we come and we say, no, indeed, this matter is so difficult that the member cannot speak for themselves. They need an expert in law. Then we say, no, indeed, who is your expert in law? They give this person to us. Then we start correspondence. But you've already shifted hearings, you've already discussed procedural matters, you've already told them they can't do 1, 2, 3, 4 through their legal representative. So, Chairperson, we need to apply our minds in that regard too. And I think, quite honestly, for procedural fairness, their lawyer must be allowed in these proceedings. I was not here when this matter was decided because Sis Ntombi Namsha somehow had a problem with our emails and all of that. They were using my parliament email as opposed to the email I'm always reached on. I would have had a much more stronger opinion at the beginning. But I understand the author of Bolted. You can't deny people legal representatives. Because what is a legal representative? Even lawyers get legal representatives. Because it means I may be too emotional.
Honorable Jos.
Oh, okay.
Remember, I've ruled on that one. So get to the other point, not the legal representation issue.
No, Chairperson, my problem let me see, what is the rule? We didn't debate. So you're saying there's no matter of legal representation in front of us. But there's nothing in front of us. You have not read anything. People have written about this matter. Those correspondents have not reached us. So if we are considering postponement of tomorrow, if that can be in front of us, so is the matter of legal representation. Unless there's something I'm not getting about, what does it mean that a matter is in front of us?
Maybe let me just deal with the issue of, you see, the schedule to the rule is quite clear. It says that if a member wishes to apply for a legal representation, that application must be formally brought to the committee, meaning there must be an application sitting in front of us, giving us reasons why the member has to be represented legally by a legal representative. Because there are requirements to be fulfilled. One of the requirements in the schedule is that the matter has to be so complex that it requires legal representation. So that application is not here. And you must remember, honorable members, this committee has appointed an initiator. The initiator is honorable, is Advocate Mayos. She's an initiator on behalf of Parliament in this committee. And this committee relies on her to initiate the process, to bring the charges that this committee has said charges must be brought, and to sort of prosecute on this case. She is saying to this committee that there is no formal application in front of the committee. Maybe there is somewhere, but formally there is no application. And that is the point that I'm making, and that's the point that I've wrote on, that we do not have a formal application, and therefore we can't decide on a matter that is not before us. What is before us is an information from the initiator that there is a request that we must start the hearing tomorrow because the council will be available tomorrow. Now, I do take a point that the correspondence should have been made available to the members, and I agree with you, Honorable Ndlozi. The correspondence should have been made available today so that the committee is privy to the correspondence that has been exchanged. But there is nothing wrong with the Secretary of Parliament responding to the letters that have been written. And by responding, the Secretary will in no way take a decision on behalf of the committee. It will be the committee that will take a decision. I was informed by this correspondence. I've had sight of the correspondence, and that is why there was a request that we should postpone. I brought it to the attention of the committee that we'll have to postpone for these reasons, and there was no objection that was raised. If the committee was not happy, the committee should have said, no, no, we are not postponing, we are proceeding. On the first point, I think we agree with you. Correspondence should have been here for information so that we know what we are dealing with. And I think that tomorrow morning, not even tomorrow, after this meeting, we'll ask that the support team supporting this committee must send that correspondence via email to all the members. But on the issue of the application, we don't have an application in front of us, either for legal representation or any other representation. So that is the issue that I've raised. I hope that you are done, Honorable Ndlozi, so that we can move to to the third point.
I'm covered, Chair. Thanks. That makes the matters very easy. I agree. Let's adjourn and reconvene tomorrow. I do want to caution, though, that should we get the correspondence and there is a request to make a formal application, I'm cautioning that we should have discussed, because a formal application can be in our presence. A formal application can be in our presence. That we may have to, I don't know the correspondence, but I'm cautioning.
Okay. Let's move then.
All right. So I agree that let's proceed tomorrow, and then hopefully this matter can stand down until then. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable Madolet.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also welcome the report by our initiator. Chairperson, I do agree with the previous Honorable who said we must agree with the postponement of this meeting for tomorrow. And you said it right, that there's no application for legal representation at the moment. But if we get it, then as a committee we decide on it. So I'm not going to be long, just to say we agree that we will meet tomorrow with those affected members. So I'm agreeing that the meeting should adjourn, then we meet tomorrow. And let us get all the correspondence. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, Honorable Deputy Chief Whip. My apologies, I should have brought your apology before the meeting. In fact, we did not deal with the apologies. I'm sorry for that. It was your apology that you'll be arriving late, you did indicate to me. And it was also, there is also an apology of Honorable Ludred. She's not available today, she'll be available tomorrow. So she should be coming tomorrow. So those are the only two apologies that we dealt with. I think, honorable members, we are adjourning. We are going to continue tomorrow with the hearing. The correspondence that has been exchanged, I've said I was aware, I've had sight of that correspondence. Members have not had sight. We are requesting that members must receive those correspondence after this meeting. We'll be proceeding tomorrow. We are doing this for the fairness, for the sake of fairness, because we have not yet approved legal representation. And in actual fact, those members who are charged should have been here. Should have been here, and then we decide whether we proceed because their legal representative is not here. But as it is, the application is not in front of us. So if that application comes tomorrow, the committee will then deal with that application. But I just want to say to the members, we ourselves have agreed on the appointment of the initiator. If members remember, it was us who were supposed to make that appointment, but we delegated it to the office of the speaker. So the office of the speaker appointed on our behalf. So she's an initiator of the committee. And so I wouldn't like us to raise matters as if we ourselves are initiators. Because the initiator is a legal representative who acts on behalf of Parliament and the committee by extension. And so I just wanted to make that clear. When she brings information to our attention and she makes an argument and she advises the committee, we must understand that it is us who have appointed her to do that. And so we must give her that necessary respect that she deserves, because it's us who brought her to perform this function. But otherwise, thank you very much, honorable members, and we will meet again tomorrow in this very room, B249, at 10 o'clock, we will start. And thank you very much, everybody. Next time, you must sit on that table, sit here, proper social distancing. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.